Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's a Wednesday, which means it is time for Pure Hoops with Terp. Justin Turpin, WEEI, WEEI.com. What's going on, Terp?
What's up? Are they 2-0 with you in the house this year?
Yes, 2-0.
Oh, they need Jones and more games.
A spanking of the Grizzlies.
Oh, beat the Grizz.
And then last night it wasn't looking good early.
No.
But I was able to carry him to a win late.
2-0.
Yeah.
Really good.
Cashing some bets.
When are you going again? When's your next
good question.
Scheduled
game? I don't know, TBD.
2-0 okay. Against a spread as well with you in the house, I believe.
I think by tip last night, the Celtics were underdogs. When we left yesterday, they were favored, but I think they were underdogs by tip time.
That was another game where I was kind of shocked how close the number was. The Detroit game, we were talking about that last week, and they covered that. Like, they won some quality games.
Maybe Vegas is seeing something, because we said for that Detroit game, we're like, what does Vegas know about this line? This is a weird line.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just as simple as they see them playing better basketball, Terp, because they have now won, as you just said, 4 out of their last 5. Their 4 wins are over 4 of the top 6 teams in the East. Orlando, Detroit, Cleveland, New York. Now, they mixed in a loss at Minnesota, but...
Pretty good game, too.
No, it was. Yeah. So, I mean, they are playing better. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yeah, and if you look out even further than that, in their last 15, they're 9-6, 7-3 in their last 10, and like you said, 4-1 in their last 5. And to me, it's just they're bringing that edge and they're bringing that swagger that they talked about that they needed to bring. Like, obviously, the roster isn't as talented as it used to be, but the way that they're playing each and every night, just giving it maximum effort, bringing that intensity, it's tough for opposing teams to overcome that. And I think a lot of that comes down to the mindset and to the culture that Joe Mazzulla has established here and that the players are really upholding, because it's just been incredible what they've been able to do.
Well, I'll go back to the loss to Brooklyn. So they had the back-to-back, the home-and-home. So they lose to Brooklyn, and they were 500 at that point. And you're like, Brooklyn?
No, and that loss...
Like, that roster's so bad.
That loss was... It was even over...
Yeah, right. And it wasn't like a back-to-back. It just happened to be the same opponent in 2 straight games.
And the loss was, like, overshadowing some of the wins early in this streak, too. I'm like, that was such a bad loss to such a bad team.
Yeah, so that was... I feel like the team could have gone one of two ways. I mean, it's only 16 games in, but they were 500, so they're literally treading water. And that's one where you're like, all right, if this is going to be a playoff team, specifically a top six, like a real playoff team, you can't drop games to the dregs of the league. But then they follow that up with this great five-game stretch. I would have been happy with, like, 2-3 even, just because you're playing really, really good teams, and they're 4-1. They got, what, Washington tomorrow, who's another one of these awful teams. So they could keep this thing going. And they've even had injuries during this time, too. And so, I don't know, maybe it is figuring out the roles of some of these guys. You know, for a handful of them, they were used to having Tatum on the floor. He's not. And then for another bunch of them, they just weren't even on the Celtics before. So maybe they're all just kind of finally figuring out how to all fit together.
And when we talked last week, we talked about it was kind of too early to decide what this team was and that this upcoming stretch was really going to define it. And, I mean, you just have to be happy with what you've gotten from this team so far. Even last night, for example, guys like Hugo Gonzalez, he changed the game in the second quarter and what he was able to do to Karl-Anthony Towns, who was feasting on them in the first quarter. Josh Minot hit a big three in the fourth quarter, and he's been very consistent from three this year. It's guys that you were hoping, Jordan Walsh in the fourth quarter, those putbacks and the defense he provided. Like, the guys that you were hoping would take the leaps are taking the leaps, and they're having success in doing that. So I understand, like, people wanted to tank. People were like, oh, it's better. The return on investment's better for this team to tank. But I think with what you're having now with this team, these guys emerging, the Jordan Walshes, the Namish Kadas, the Josh Minots, these guys looking like they can contribute, looking like future pieces, you kind of take that, right?
Okay, well, but yeah, but I'm happy you said it the way you said it. They all contribute, and they all look right. like future pieces. What are they? I mean, mm-hmm. they're probably
we're
all
20 games in, right? We don't know.
Well, we don't, but they're probably all bench pieces, is what I would say on like a good Agreed. Championship caliber team with Tatum back.
I don't know about Kata though.
Kata's like Luke Kornet ish, right?
Yeah, but he got $40 million across 3 years.
No, but I'm saying
yeah, he might be a starter.
That's a bench big.
I think he could be a starter.
I think Kata's a
starter. I think Kata can be a starter. Okay. I do agree where Jordan Walsh in a championship team, I don't think he's in the starting lineup. Same thing with Josh Minot.
Walsh and Minot and Gonzalez, they're all young. And I'll give this to you. Last night, Keith, I don't know if you could tell this on TV. I was in the building.
No, it was
but
harder
could,
to
but
see
could,
on
you
TV.
Could really, yeah. You could really tell
the
in the building.
Yeah.
Nope, I did not wear my Abu Dhabi shirt. I did take it home with me. I didn't put it on
yet.
But you could see when Gonzalez came in. And I'll credit Mazzulla on this. Mazzulla kind of spun the dial. Because I don't think he quite has that spot figured out. They have four starters right now. They know what they're going to do. It's Brown, it's White, it's Pritchard, it's Kata. Those guys are going to start. Kata did not have a great night early on Towns. And so they're kind of spinning the dial, right? Walsh got the start, didn't go great. Minot got some minutes. They went to Hugo. And he did change the game defensively on Towns, who was just feasting on Kata and Jaylen Brown. So I think last night was a good look, and I think the last couple of weeks reflect well on Mazzulla as well. I think that is coaching. That's not paint by numbers, huck up threes. He went through a few different things last night, and ultimately he found something by going to Gonzalez. That's good coaching.
Even go back to Xavier Tillman against the Cavs. He was out of the rotation, wasn't playing at all.
Well, that night, who was hurt for that game?
Kata and White. They were
right,
both
they were down a couple of games.
They went in and started Tillman, and no one expected that, right? People thought maybe they go with the small ball, start Josh Minot in there with Jordan Walsh, maybe start Garza, which we've seen them do. And they went with Xavier Tillman, and it worked. So I give Joe Mazzulla a lot of credit because this team, like I said earlier, is really they're living up to the standard that he holds them to, and then he's clicking all the right buttons for this team. Like if I know they're 12-9, it's like you're not going to throw a parade over a team that's 3 games over .500, 21 games into the season, but or 22 games into the season, rather. But this is a lot better than a lot of people would have expected, especially given the schedule at the beginning of the year. I mean, and they're beating quality teams. They have 7 wins against teams 500 or better. That's the second most in the NBA behind the Detroit Pistons, who have 8. They're tied with the Magic, the reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Denver Nuggets. That's a good ball club, They have been better than people expected, and they deserve a lot of credit for that, and Joe's at the top of that.
I hate to do it, but you also deserve some credit, because I was like, 2 weeks ago talking about Jaylen Brown playing like an All-NBA player, and I was like, I don't know, because like you kind of need the wins to sort of – and he was scoring points, but they were losing, and they were losing to some bad teams. I mean, this stretch that he's on now is as good as we've ever seen, right, from Jaylen Brown. Now, I know it's very different. He's played almost his entire career with Tatum or even other, you know, guys that can score. You look out there now, like, yeah, he's going to need to score 30 or 40 on certain nights, but he has. He's been pretty consistent, and he's a guy that's not afraid to go to the basket. He's a guy that's not afraid to shoot twos, right? He's not afraid to do that. But he's been great over the last couple of weeks.
Just night in and night out, he's given them a chance to win. He's averaging 29-6-4. The only other players averaging that stat line are Giannis, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic. Sounds like an All-NBA player.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty solid.
That's pretty
like
good.
Two MVP, three MVP candidates.
And but all those guys are going to be in the playoffs. So like, if the Celtics sink back down and they miss the postseason, that is a big difference between him and those other guys. So look, now that they're in playoff position, he's playing well. I do think you're onto something, Terp, and maybe it's just they started slow. Mm-hmm. They were missing Tatum. Brown had to find his role. Mazzulla had to find out what he had on the roster, and they're starting to get their footing, and maybe it's just as simple as that, but I do think they have to be a playoff team for Brown to really be an All-NBA player.
And two quick thoughts. One on the playoff team thing. This conversation changes with one injury, right? Like that we're still like there's a long season to go, and we still, as much as we're praising the depth, like these guys have contributed in the roles they have been in. If everyone is elevated again, we're talking a lot differently about this team. So yes, we got to kind of pump the brakes in that sense, but I mean, night in, night out, he's given them what they want. And the best thing about what we've seen from Jaylen Brown, it's not the scoring. Everyone knew he can score. I mean, the 40 points in 2 of the last 3 games is great, but how he's creating for others, and especially in that Cleveland game, like how he was deferring in the fourth quarter, even last night, just deferring, passing out to Jordan Walsh, trusting guys like Josh Minot. Like, that's going to go a long way when Jason Tatum is back, because it kind of takes off him a little bit. Now that Jaylen Brown's been forced into that role where he's reading the defenses, he's the number one guy. When he comes back, that's only going to make him better. So, I mean, this has just been a great year for him. I mean, the development has been there. There was a lot of questions going in, a lot of talk about whether or not he can be a true number one, and I think he's answered that pretty resoundingly.
What have you seen from Peyton Pritchard? I think the conversation about him coming off the bench or starting, like, that's pretty much over. Like, he's been out there. He had the monster game a couple nights ago, almost a career high, 42 points.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Still shooting 33% from three, where he's been pretty consistently a 40% three-point shooter. Is that just the types of shots he's taking, or is it... like, just not a great shooting year for him? Is there anything you see in his
more game? Attention from defenses,
I think it's
too?
Because it's about the same number of shots as it was last year. It's just, I'm sure with the guys around him, they're not quite as wide open.
Yeah, we've talked about it with him and Derek White.
Right.
Like, a lot of their shots are now pull-ups as opposed to catch and shoot threes, and those are a much more high-efficient shot. And that's kind of the result of being a one or a two when you're on the floor sometimes when the lineup's with Jaylen Brown's not out there. So I think some of it is kind of balancing that new role, but to... Pritchard's credit, like, he's, as a point guard, has done a terrific job just running the offense. His assist to turnover ratio is incredible, one of the tops in the NBA. So as a point guard, he's been great. But with both him and Derek White, they need the scoring, right? Like, you can't expect Jaylen Brown to go out and score 40 points every night.
There are some lineups, like, Brown was in early foul trouble last night, and some of the lineups, you just need guys who can put the ball in the basket, and it's like, some of these lineups are, I'm using as Kata and White and Pritchard and
Simons.
Yeah,
maybe with Shireman last night.
Yeah. Oh no, maybe that's what it was. It was Shireman early, and you're looking at it going, who the hell is going to score?
They're going to get some buckets.
And it really does have to be those two or Simons. And it's basketball is about more than just putting the ball in the basket, but when Brown's off the floor and without Tatum this year, they do need those guys to do that. I'm with you on that.
And you look at the Anthony Simons games recently. You look at, like, 12 points last night. He shot 5-9. Not crazy, but he gave them what they needed in the first half and really kind of helped steady them out in the first half. And he did that against Cleveland as well. So I think he is getting a little bit more comfortable in his role, especially in the first half. He's been great coming in and just being aggressive right away, giving them the scoring they need. But I think once he continues to get more acclimated, and he's kind of talked about it, he's growing more comfortable. Joe Mazzulla talked about it last week where he sees him getting more comfortable in the role. Like, you go from being a primary option to being the sixth man on a team that was kind of figuring itself out. You're not necessarily the primary ball handler all the time anymore. So it was an adjustment, and I think he did deserve some patience and some grace in that process. And when he starts to click a little bit more, I think it's going to do wonders for this offense.
What are the chances, though, that let's say he does kind of figure it out, and then 2 months from now, they trade him?
I mean, still pretty high. Still pretty high. I think if you're going to circle any name on this roster that could go at the deadline, I think it consensusly would be.
Now, if they're a top six seed and they trade Simons, and let's say he's playing well, right? Like, you know, occasional 20-point game, but just, like, consistently double figures off the bench, and he's like the team's third leading scorer, or I guess fourth leading scorer, and they trade him for, you know, an expiring deal or whatever, like, I don't know. Like, that's going to piss a lot of people off.
I think people would do it if it's for a big. I think people would accept it.
Well, that's what I was
going
to say. So that's different. So that's what I was going to ask.
But for picks, no.
If they're trading, if they trade him for picks, that's unconscionable.
Okay.
To me. But they might. They might.
Yeah.
But if they made a trade for a roster fit, that is what they need, right? Another big?
I would say another big. And the small, they found something with the small ball. And I think it works with what they're doing and the way they want to play, how they want to create chaos. Like, they found something there, but you need big men going to the postseason, right? We were just giving Kato his flowers. He can be a starter, but behind him,
that's tough.
It's very suspect.
And then Evan Mobley will have 25 rebounds whatever. Yeah.
So if you're going to make a move, it would probably be people would want a big man. But like right now, and again, we don't really know because we haven't seen it with this ownership group. Like right now, you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt that the moves made in the offseason were because of the second apron, and they kind of were very open about that. But if they trade him out and just kind of get picks and duck under the luxury tax,
it'd be terrible.
Then you can talk about it differently.
Yeah. So, look, to me, Simons for a big, maybe it balances your roster out better. Maybe Tatum's coming back, so that makes even a little bit more sense. Like, I could get behind that. Simons for picks is just, that's
like
not...
the old Red Sox added. It's like, oh, the in-house trade deadline or whatever they used to say.
Yeah,
Jason
Chris
Tatum's
Sale's
your
back.
Big coming back.
Chris Sale's back. Well, it also depends on how Simons is playing. Like, I like Simons. I might even like the idea of Simons more than even what we've seen night in and night out. So if he's kind of struggling, I think people will excuse it and be like, oh, we trust Brad. But if he's, like, having a lot of good games and then they just flip him, it's going to really irritate people.
What? Because I don't want to go too far with the Celtics and how they're playing. They are playing better. They're still the 8th seed in the East. But to me, how they played over these last five does cement our offseason expectations. They should be a top 6 seed in the East.
Win 40 something games.
You shouldn't be in the play-in games. You definitely shouldn't be in the lottery. Talking about tanking, even though they started poorly, I never got on board with that. But they should be a top 6 seed in the East. Is that a fair expectation? What are your expectations now that they've kind of leveled out through 22 games?
My expectations really haven't changed. A team a little bit over 500, and that's what they've been. And right now, if you look at it, like, they win those Brooklyn and Utah games, two very winnable games, they could be looking at the 3rd seed in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And
it's still
at the
very
quarter
close,
pole of the season, anybody would have signed up for that. Anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be ahead of Cleveland. Who would have thought that coming to the year? Ahead of Orlando. Like, they are right there. And there were kind of glimpses of it earlier in the year. Like, even that Knicks game, the second game of the year. I know people don't like necessarily like to count quarters or anything, but like they outscored them in 3 of the 4 quarters. It was that really bad second quarter was a huge run that did them in, and they fought back and made that pretty close in the fourth quarter until New York pulled away. So there were signs about this team early on, and it was kind of this growing pains. Like, what does Joe have on this roster? What do these guys have in their new roles? And now as they start to figure that out, you're starting to see things click a little bit. So I'm with you guys. Like, this looks like a team that has the making, they have the ethos, they have the talent, and they have like the mindset to overachieve in expectations.
All right, it's pure hoops, not just pure Celtics. So the NBA record for most wins in a regular season is 73 by the Golden State Warriors back in 2016. The Oklahoma City Thunder are currently 21-1. How many wins do they finish with?
I think they're going to go over 70. Like, I really do.
They're 21-1. I think they win 75. I think they break the record.
And okay,
they did a lot of this without Jalen Lynch.
That's what I'm saying.
He was an All NBA player last year.
One of the great Jalens that we
just came
earlier.
Back. Top Jalen for sure.
Top Jalen.
They started 8-0. They lost to Portland. They've won 13 in a row since. They're 21-1.
Yeah,
that's how you defend the title.
They're going to break the record. Yeah,
like, look at opening night. They went to double overtime. Yeah. And then they had another overtime.
First two games were both double overtimes. Yeah, Houston and Indiana.
It is just wild. Like, that team is just so insanely talented. And again, they're doing without an all-NBA player.
They haven't even been fully healthy.
But, like, they haven't been fully healthy.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's doing the same stuff that he's done last year. He's like, every night when we do best NBA performer of the night, he's in there.
I was kind of shocked to know they only have 7. They're 7-0 against teams over 500, though. So maybe that could be kind of like earlier in the year, like, you know, dropping teams early. Because the West is very talented. But, like, man, it's hard to pick against that team right now. Like, they're so good.
OKC or the Field, who would you take to win the championship?
Right now it's OKC. I mean, we're talking about the East.
I was Field at the beginning of the year. I was Field. So I thought it was more wide open. But then seeing the Eastern Conference the way that it is, like, I like Detroit. Detroit's nice, but.
Right, am I picking that to beat Oklahoma City?
No, I gotta take the Thunder.
I'd pick a gentleman's sweep is what I would pick.
And, like, in the West, like, really, who's good enough to beat?
I mean, the combination of Luka and Austin Reeves is lighting the league on fire.
Speaking of all NBA, Reeves
for sure is right now.
I'm excited to see that team on Friday night.
Yeah. Like,
That's going to be a lot of fun to see that. I mean, it's a great test for the Celtics, like slowing down a guy like Luka. Like, because I bet you Jordan Walsh might get that assignment. Like, he's kind of taken over that role where Jalen Brown's had it the last couple of years where Jordan Walsh is now guarding the best players, and he's done a heck of a job. He did a great job last night. James Harden, I mean, you look at that game, he had like 40 points, but if you watch just how frustrated he made James Harden, I would actually brag. I went into the locker room after and asked James Harden about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. He was just like so frustrated. did not want to talk about it at all, but Tyronn Lue gave him like a lot of credit for it, and like Jordan Walsh is really making a name for himself in the league. He's getting on scouting reports, and it's just crazy to think that that guy was out of the rotation a month ago, and now he's in your starting lineup and is truly developing into a legitimate NBA player.
Real quick, the Tatum video that was making the rounds, the one-on-one video, your thoughts on how he looks and what and if that means anything for his timeline?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to judge the timeline because, like, only he knows. Only he has that timeline circled. Like, they have it. They've kept that very close to the vest. But I will say, like, we have gotten a glimpse of him at practices, and it's been a lot of just, like, off-the-dribble shooting stuff. And just from those brief interactions, those brief, like, viewings, like, he doesn't look like he has any limitations.
No.
It doesn't look at all. And we kind of talked about it once he got hurt. Like, there's just no data for a 27-year-old tearing his Achilles, like this kind of injury, and getting the surgery right away, which we heard was such like a positive thing in the recovery and by one of the best Achilles surgeons in the world. Like, it seems like everything was just kind of falling in line. And it does seem like, again, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what his timeline is. I don't know what he's planning to be. But it just looks like from seeing him, there are no limitations. But I will say, too, and we talked about this as well, it's kind of unfair to expect him to come back and be an All-NBA player.
True. Right?
Like, I think that's something.
That's why that a lot people, of guys like, didn't even try it.
People are looking at the Celtics team. They're like, oh, like, hey, like, they're right in the thick of things in the East. Wait until they get Jason Tatum back. Yeah, like, yeah, that would be great.
And, right.
But that's independent.
If he's playing
right?
16 like, minutes. And
the most
like,
important thing is just getting him on the floor and like letting him relearn his body, letting him trust his body again. Because that mental hurdle is just going to be so hard to get over. So I just think it might be a little bit overzealous to look at it and be like, oh, this team's going to have Jason Tatum. Look out, the East is wide open, because he's not going to come back and be an All-NBA player. That's just an unfair expectation.
617-779-7937. You can talk Celtics here with Jones and Keith. That is Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com, WEEI. You can follow him there at Justin M. Turpin for all of his Celtics coverage, press conferences, practice footage, game breakdowns, etc. Terp, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Billy Lanny's got all the latest in trending, more on the Celtics, and how much credit Missoula deserves for this turnaround. We'll get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.